You see, the flesh is fertile ground for the enemy. And the enemy is good at what he does. He attacks your flesh, your physical and emotional appetites, and lures you into idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is really living to gratify yourself, your physical and emotional appetites. It's what I have been born to naturally do. And that's why I have to be born again to not do those things. I need to be baptized in the Spirit. And I need to yield to the Spirit. And I need to understand and apply the Word of God. This is what we see Jesus doing, right? This is the antidote. This is the cure. You see, idolatry is really getting you to serve self rather than serve God.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We welcome you to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. To find out more about our fellowship, please visit us online at ccechopark.com. And now let's humbly turn our eyes to our Father in heaven as we open His Word. We will be in the New Testament book of Matthew. Let's join Pastor David Higa with the teaching as we set our hearts and minds on the Lord.
We're going to be in right there, chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, so Matthew records, he says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he," Jesus, "answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Verse 5. "Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him," verse 7, "'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Verse 8, "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him." Now, the interesting thing is that it was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that led Jesus into the wilderness. You know what that? The Spirit led him to be tempted. Notice in verse 1 it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." You know, in Mark's gospel it says it a little bit more descriptively. He says, "Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness." And so immediately and drove him. It's as if the Holy Spirit is actually pushing him out to the place to be tempted. And so you have to kind of ask yourself the question, why? Why would the Spirit drive him into the wilderness to be tempted? Now, I think it's also important to observe this, that the Spirit did not tempt Jesus, only drove Jesus to the place to be tempted. But the Holy Spirit did not tempt. He's not the one that tempted Jesus. It was who? It was the devil that did the tempting. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Where's that from? Well, that's what James writes in James chapter 1, verse 13. That's the commentary that we need to glean from the scripture. Let me read that to you again. It says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So God cannot be tempted by evil, nor can he tempt anyone with evil. Now, he allows ones to be tempted, but it is the devil that tempts unto evil, okay? And so we can know from this scripture that God, and from this example here given right here in the temptation of Jesus, that God tempts no one to do evil. He allows the temptation. The Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted, but it was Satan, the devil, that tempted. But we must remember that God himself, really, he tempts no one. And that is what we see in this situation here. Now, someone might ask, I don't know if you just asked this, it comes up to my mind, this question, well, isn't Jesus God? It says God cannot be tempted. Isn't Jesus God? Well, we have to remember, yeah, Jesus is fully God, but what else? In the person, the doctrine of the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus is also what? Fully man. Jesus as fully God cannot be tempted, but Jesus as fully man can and was. That is the important part of this temptation equation to observe. We as men and women can relate to Jesus' temptation because he was fully man. And by the same token, Jesus can relate to our temptation because he walked this earth as a man. He knows what you go through, because he himself went through it as well, as a man. Jesus, fully man, was tempted and experienced everything that you and I would experience in this fallen world. Temptation, indeed. Trial, tribulation, and even sin and death. You know, the Bible declares this, that all sin was placed on Jesus on the cross. And then he died because the wages of sin is death for all mankind. So he experienced even sin. Now he was sinless until the cross of Calvary, until all sin was placed upon him. And that's why he died. The wages of sin is death. That is why the writer of the Hebrews called Jesus our great high priest, because he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses and in all points was tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. That's from Hebrews chapter 15 there, right? In all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. It's from the writer of the Hebrews who records that. I think I had the address wrong, but it's in from the writer of Hebrews. That Jesus, our great high priest, he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he is in all points tempted as we are. So, let's look at verses 2, 3, and 4 to observe just how Jesus was tempted. Now remember that temptation is not sin. Important for us to note, temptation is not sin. It is entertaining and acting upon the temptation that is sin. And Jesus did neither. He was tempted for sure, but the scripture records was without sin. He neither entertained it nor acted upon it. What we see in our passage this morning is the devil's temptation and God's resolution. That's what we can observe. And we need to observe both sides of this narrative. The devil's temptation and then God's resolution. And we can identify the ploy of the devil and the remedy of God in this. Now, verse 2 says this, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Verse 3, now when the tempter came, he came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, what does Satan do right here? He appears to the flesh, doesn't he? Now, what is the flesh? You know, the flesh is our carnality, our carnal side. It is anything that deals with our physical and emotional appetite. Anybody have that? Last time I raised my hand in the first hour, I was the only one to raise my hand. I'm the only one with a physical and emotional appetite. And it's not godly. Now we all have that, right? I'm being a little bit facetious there. But that's what Satan deals with. It is what I like to call our animal instinct. So take your pet dog, for example. I don't like cats, so I'm going to use an example of a dog, okay? Take your pet dog. I have a pet dog. You love your dog. Your dog loves you. Your dog likes you. He has physical and emotional appetites. He has a physical appetite like you. He likes to eat. My dog likes to eat. I like to eat too. And he has an emotional appetite like me. He wants to be loved. I want to be loved. He wants to feel important. I want to feel important. He wants to be pet. Now, I don't know if I want to be pet, but I like to have attention paid to me, right? When you pet your dog, you're paying attention. He loves that. My dog, when I don't pet him, he wants to be pet. You know what he does? He starts to push me. He craves attention, right? So in short, when you think about it, you're just like your dog. I mean, kind of joking here, but you know, it is true. On an emotional, physical level, you're just like your dog. You have physical appetites, and you have emotional appetites. Now the point is that people, as we have these physical and emotional appetites, this is where what? Satan attacks. The biblical definition of the flesh is our emotional and physical appetites. And Satan appeals to those places. That is precisely where he tempts us. And you know what? He's really good at it. He uses our eyes, what we see, and tempts us with lust. He uses our emotions, what we feel, and tempts us through what? Fear, anxiety, and loneliness. You know, uncontrolled emotions can get us to do some very bad things, like lying, cheating, stealing, unfaithfulness, and the like. You fill in the blanks. And don't think that you're above these unethical things or you're immune to them. You know, I've at times seen that the very ones that outwardly claim what? Ethics are the very ones that are silently lying, cheating, and being unfaithful. There are something very different at home than they are at public, in public. They do it silently. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day are prime examples. It's really a sickness to be something that you're not. But you know what? The devil attacks in that manner. He wants you to be a show, not be real for the Lord. Now notice that the temptation came right after Jesus did something spiritual. What did he do? He was baptized and he fasted. You know, Satan does the same thing with us, doesn't he? As soon as you decide to follow Jesus, he comes in with a temptation. I've seen this in real living color even at our baptism services. It doesn't take long after someone is baptized that they are tempted to undo what they have decided to do. Physical and emotional challenges come and they are tempted to go back to their old ways. Perhaps you've experienced this. It's without a doubt that that always happens. That's what happens. Without a doubt, I've seen it over and over again. After we baptize a multitude, there's a portion of that multitude that goes back, and we don't see them. Now notice the similar immediate attack after Jesus' baptism. This is what we see in our passage, right? Last week, the baptism. This week, what? The temptation. This first temptation appealed to Jesus' physical hunger after 40 days of fasting. Notice too that joined to the physical temptation was an emotional one. What is that emotion? Well, Satan began to question him. What's the question? Notice the question. If you are the Son of God, what is he baiting him to do? If you are the Son of God, prove yourself. Command that these stones become bread. Ever try to prove yourself? And you can't? He says, prove yourself. If you are the Son of God, prove yourself. Make these stones become bread. Feed your appetite. Make it happen. This, I believe, is where we can get into a lot of trouble. It is the temptation of trying to prove ourselves. More directly put, proving self. But what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say about self? To prove it? No, to die to it. To die to self. We must die to self, not prove self. You know, we're so much caught up into trying to prove ourselves and trying to show everyone how good we are that we totally become inundated with ourself and miss God. We miss God's will. We miss God's way. And we miss God's timing because we are so immersed in self, in ourselves. Trying to satisfy self is the ultimate carnal desire. Think about it. That's true. Trying to satisfy yourself is the ultimate carnal desire. And you know what? It's the centerpiece of the devil's attack. When self is reckoned dead, think about this. When self is truly reckoned dead, so is temptation. And so is sin. If your self is dead, no more temptation. No more sin. Think about it. That's why the Bible teaches, reckon what? The old man dead. If we do that, we are free. Not in bondage. But you know, so often, because we're in bondage to our self-appetites, that it makes us do something we don't want to do. It makes us say things we don't want to say. It makes us be things that we don't want to be. We're in bondage to self. Idolatry. And what the Lord says is to die to self. And that's why you've been born again. Reckon the old man dead and be free. But you know what? Being born again is the good news. If you're truly a born-again Christian, the good news is that you are a child of God. And that is what is truly important. I am what I am, Paul said, by what? The grace of God. I am what I am. I'm a child of God. I don't have to prove anything by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. You know, that is where freedom truly is. That is where freedom from temptation lies. And so notice Jesus' response right there in verse 4. It says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is written. He goes right to the word. And then identifies this fundamental truth that God's word is more important than physical food. I want you to notice that. What Jesus really is describing is that God's word is more important even than physical food. His word and his direction is the priority, even above your physical appetite. Man shall not live by bread alone. Now that doesn't mean that God will not provide food. Remember Psalm 37? I've never seen the righteous go hungry. Psalm 37, verse 5, 25 specifically. You know, God will always provide what we physically need, but our physical appetite must be in submission to God's word. Our physical appetite must be under submission to God's word. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, if we follow God's word firstly, and that is the priority, we will live fruitful lives. But if we follow our physical and emotional appetites firstly, and that is our priority, we will be unfruitful and even live defeated lives. You can observe this. Ones that are controlled by the flesh, they're in bondage and they're defeated. Ones that are controlled by the Spirit, they're free. They're fruitful. The temptation, The devil's temptation is to make our physical appetite the priority. And the cure is to make, God's cure is to make every word that proceeds from the mouth of God the priority. And so in verse 5 it says, then the devil took him up into the holy city, the second temptation, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet against a stone. Verse 7, and Jesus said to him, it is written again. I want you to highlight that again. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, I want you to notice in this second temptation comes the same question. It's the same question as the first. If you are the Son of God. But this time it focuses on trust. Trusting God. The first time, it focuses on using your supernatural powers to feed your flesh. It's to use your power to feed your flesh. Use your strength to feed your flesh. But here, the temptation really is girded in trust. Trusting God. If you are the Son of God, it says, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So I want you to notice this. The devil is now using scripture himself. Now he's doing it out of context. But he's using it to breed mistrust in God. You can't trust God. Well, if you can, go ahead, throw yourself down. Do you trust God? Remember that sometimes there are these games that you play at and it has to do with trust. They're icebreakers, and sometimes you do this. And I remember in one of the youth group retreats I went to, they did this as an icebreaker. Then you go into groups, and to build up trust, remember they would have one person stand on a chair like that and fall backwards, and then everybody else kind of handing right there. Do you trust your group? And you just fall. And so you have to trust them, right? Because what if they want to play a fast one on you? You bump your head, right? Trust. See, this is what Satan is doing. He's testing the Lord's trust. Go ahead, throw yourself down, and let's see if God will save you. Let's what? Test him. Let's test him. Have you ever been attacked like this? You know, I think of the hurls of insults that came upon Jesus on the cross. He was attacked like this on the cross. He's, you know, remember, it was the religious people. They came and they hurled this accusation. He said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen one of God. Remember that? They're questioning God. They're questioning Jesus. He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God. You ever been questioned like that? Oh, you say you're Christian. What's going on? Why are you doing this? You know, they begin to test you. Notice the similar question right here. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down and be rescued. Don't you trust God? Do you see how this temptation works? It comes with questions. Questioning God. Where is your God? Why doesn't he do something? Why are you still single? Why aren't you married? As if you did something wrong. Matter of fact, maybe if you're single, you're doing something radically right. But your question, right? And it comes to well-intentioned, even Christians, right? Why haven't you finished school? Why aren't you working? You trust in God. Well, where is he? Why are you sick? Why doesn't God heal you? You see, questions of doubt are a multitude from the devil. You see, the enemy even uses scripture to attack and bring these questions. Sometimes through even Bible quoting people. Satan, too, as we see here, is good at quoting scripture. So how do we overcome this kind of attack? These questions. This temptation of trust. Not trusting God. What is the remedy? Well, again, Jesus goes to the Word. And he says this. It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, notice the word again. I want to talk about this. It is written again. It is as if the Lord is emphasizing that we must always go to His Word for direction, not just quoting Scripture and then making it mean what we want. We don't just quote Scripture to fit our needs. That is what Satan does when he quotes Scripture out of context. You know, it's what some of the news media does these days, right? Rather than report the news, they try to make the news. I think the term is called fake news, right? They don't report the news, they make the news. But you know, that is how Satan works. Rather than report the truth, he tries to make the truth, huh? And so he quotes Scripture out of context to mean what he wants it to mean. The devil, he's the fake news of Scripture. That's what he is. But I want you to notice what Jesus does. He goes to the Word and presses into the truth. It is written again, he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, this word tempt, it should be really transliterated as test. If you have a study Bible like mine, there's a footnote referencing this. Test, it should be translated into English. You shall not test the Lord your God. Now, biblically speaking, the opposite of test is trust. Think about that. The opposite of testing is trusting. We are to trust God, not test Him. And in fact, the fact of the matter is that you are either doing one or the other. You're either testing God or you're trusting Him. We should be trusting God, right? Not testing. Because God is trustworthy. And in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, Paul wrote this, that love always what? Trusts. That's the NIV version. Love always believes in the New King James Version. You see, if you love God, you trust God. That is, you believe Him. But if you don't love God, you don't trust Him. That is, you test Him. You see the logic there?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Calvary Chapel Echo Park podcast. If you are in the LA area, you are invited to fellowship with us. We are a simple and small church with humble hearts serving a mighty and magnificent God. If you need prayer, please reach out to us and we will pray for you. Visit us online at ccechopark.com. To God be the glory.